ask for your prayers. I just want to share with you today what the Lord placed upon my heart. I want to ask you, if you would, if you care to read along with me today, to turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 8. And I want to read beginning with verse 31. So let's read together. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." Boy, Jesus, you just couldn't get anything past Jesus, could you? I mean, nobody could win against Jesus. "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." And I will stop reading there with verse 43 of that 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John. I want to speak today about the greatest freedom of all. And I want you to remember what Jesus said in these verses that I have read. In verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So I want to talk about freedom today. And as I said, I want to talk particularly about the greatest freedom of all. But I suppose that this will be my Independence Day message. And I intend to preach the word today. You pray for me. I intend to preach God's word today. But just as Brother Dallas did in Sunday school, I also want to begin by sharing some history. And I believe that in this, that it will be perhaps a reminder. I don't suppose that I'll be telling you anything new. There may be some that haven't heard some of the particular points that I want to make, but I believe in general we all know this history. Perhaps it's from time to time something that we just need to be reminded of. We have lived, this congregation that is gathered here today, and for a moment I want to say this in the natural sense, but this congregation of people that meets here today, we have known freedom. We have known in our lives what it is to live free. We have not been oppressed as people in some other nations are even yet today. And in days past, we have enjoyed freedoms that others only wished for. We have enjoyed in this nation, we have enjoyed one of the greatest natural liberties that there is, and that's liberty to and freedom to meet together and worship God without being harassed or molested, to be able to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience without being interfered with from the law. And that's a great blessing. And we need to remember that the Lord's church experienced a lot more years without that freedom than what she has enjoying that freedom. And, you know, there have been, since the time that Jesus established the church here in the world, she has gone through a lot more years of persecution than she has without it. And we don't have, I don't suppose, a guarantee that the freedoms that we have enjoyed, should God allow time to continue, will always be here. We don't know, you know, you and I are not able to see the future, but as it's already been said today, I believe that we certainly are seeing things and hearing things that seem to pose a great threat to those freedoms that we have enjoyed and are still enjoying. I think that anybody that doesn't believe that, you need to open your eyes and your ears and look and listen to what's going on. People, I believe, want to be free, don't you? I believe that there's something in us, and it seems that it has always been this way, but I believe that there is something that is within us as people that makes us want to enjoy freedom. And when these things that seem to be of such great concern to us, I believe that they bother us because we do realize the threat that they pose to a free people. And so we not only have we enjoyed the great freedoms that we have here, but I believe that we have a great desire within us to continue in them. A great desire within us that we would not lose these things. And so certainly we are concerned about various situations going on around us. So I want us to just spend a little bit of time, as I said, before I get back here to the 8th chapter of John. I want us to spend just a little bit of time, and I want to share a little bit of history with you, because it seems to me that the quest for freedom, and I believe that actions speak louder than words. And, you know, people can say, we want to be free. But the actions, their people's actions and what they do proves that much more than their words. And we see recorded in history the things that people have done where the great quest for freedom has caused people to do the extreme. And I want to take you back. We may go back to elementary school here a little bit today, but I want to take you back to about the turn of the 17th century and some things that were happening in England. At the turn of that century, there existed in England two groups, two factions of people within the Church of England. They were known as Puritans and Separatists. And the Puritans were a group of people. They were basically reformers in nature. They were a group of people that were trying to reform the Church of England. They were trying to get them to return to a more pure doctrine. And the Separatists were a group of people that looked at the Church of England and said, this is hopeless. And so they broke away from the Church of England, and that's why they were called Separatists. They believed that the remedy, rather than what the Puritans were trying to do, the Separatists believed that the remedy to this was to break away and just to begin to form independent congregations. And so, and I may not be exact on dates, because sometimes it's hard in the things that you read to be exact. You know, historians do vary. But sometime in the very early 1600s, the Separatists there in England formed two churches, or two congregations, we might say. They were known as the Gainsborough Congregation and the Scrooby Congregation. And I want to share some history with you about one of these. That was their thought, and that was their motivation as the Separatists. Now, they around the year 1606... These two congregations, they migrated to Holland because they were looking for freedom of worship. And so they migrated. Both groups went to Amsterdam. And about 3 years later, the Scrooby congregation left Amsterdam and went to Leiden, Holland. And there, they spent about 9 years there, beginning in the year 1611. And in the year 1620, they, yet looking for more religious freedom, they boarded a small ship known as the Mayflower, and they headed across the raging Atlantic Ocean for this country. We know them and remember them from the days when we were in school as children as the Pilgrims or the Pilgrim Fathers. Now, you know, I want you to think about what they did, and I made the statement a moment ago that the quest for freedom, to be free, has driven people to do extreme things. The Mayflower was actually a relatively small ship as far as ships go. It was a third or less the size of Noah's Ark. It was about one third the length of Noah's Ark. And it wasn't nearly, the dimensions of it weren't nearly as high or as wide as the Ark that Noah built that ended up only housing eight people. But there was more than 100 people, somewhere around 125 to 130 people that boarded this small vessel and headed out across the Atlantic Ocean. Now, I want to tell you that in my opinion, these people were not doing this because they were rebels, or they were not doing this because they were seeking adventure, but they were doing this because they desired to be free to worship to the extent that they were willing to risk it all in order to find that type of freedom. They were willing to head out across the ocean. And, you know, I want us to remember that when these brave souls boarded the Mayflower and did that very thing, you know, I have three times in my life, I have left once from Illinois, once from Indianapolis, and once from Nashville. But three times in my life, I have left and got on a plane headed for Anchorage, Alaska. And that's about a 4,500-mile trip, and I was there the same day. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, the way that we can travel is amazing. To go that far and be there in the same day. These people knew that when they boarded this vessel, they knew that they were not going to arrive in the new country the same day. They knew that there were going to be many days ahead of them, you know, and no doubt many things that could very well befall them on the way. And I'm convinced that they understood that it would only be by the grace of God that they would get there. But that's how much they desired to be free. This has been mentioned here today, and I appreciate the things that Brother Wheat shared with us. But I don't want us to ever forget this, that in defense of our freedom, young Americans, when they were just beginning their adult lives, when they were at the age where they were just beginning to really live, left the comforts of home, left the comforts of America, and crossed the seas and went to foreign soil. And they went there to fight and even die to defend the freedoms that we have enjoyed in this nation. And I pray to God that we never forget that. But I'm going to tell you that I believe in order for us to honor them the way that we should, that we're going to have to be willing to make a stand to try the best that we can to defend and maintain what we have, or else we dishonor the memory of those that made the ultimate sacrifice for us to have it. I pray that God would bless their memory. Freedom never comes free. There's always a price that's got to be paid for freedom. And those who enjoy it, you know, those who never had to make the sacrifice that many made when they paid that price, need to always remember that it cost something great. It cost something great in order for us to have this. You know, we didn't even, anybody that's read history at all, anybody that's read Baptist history at all understands that the Lord's church didn't even experience this at the onset of our nation. Here in America, our Baptist ancestors were persecuted. You know what? I think this is a good opportunity for me, because I would encourage everybody that can in October to make that trip to Virginia and to go on that Baptist historical tour. I mean, you talk about something that'll open your eyes. It's a blessing to go there and to see the place and the monuments and the things that have been erected there to those of our Baptist ancestors not really very many years ago that shed their blood, that they were beaten and whipped and persecuted harshly Because they fought for religious freedom. It was a fight. And it was a hard fight. And, I'm not sure. I'm convinced that there's a lot of people today that are sitting in these huge congregations of people that have out there on their sign in front of their sanctuary, in front of their building, they have it out there on their sign that they're such and such Baptist church, and I'm afraid that they're ignorant of the history of the Baptist in this country and the influence that the early Virginia Baptist had on the freedoms that we enjoy today. The influence that they had upon government in bringing about the freedoms that we enjoy in this nation that we live in. I like being free. Do you like being free? Have you enjoyed in your life the freedom that you have to choose the profession that you want? To choose the person that you want to marry, to not have somebody tell you this is the way you have to live your life, this is the way that you have to choose. Isn't it great to have freedom of choice? Doesn't the Bible teach us that God gave us that? Did He not? In creating man, did He not give him the right of choice? Sure He did. Do you remember these? Do you remember these words? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life and liberty, freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Remember that statement? I learned that in school a long time ago. That was the Declaration of Independence adopted by the Continental Congress July 4th. 1776. How about this? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Our First Amendment rights, adopted December 15th, 1791. Not that many years ago, really, was it? When you consider the age of the world, it wasn't really that many years ago that these things were adopted. But I'm telling you that the founders of this nation, they were all about freedom for people. Freedom of worship. Freedom of speech, of conscience, free to practice according to your own beliefs. Remember that? I hope we never forget it. I hope we never forget, the things that, I'm just going to say this, and I don't mean to be belligerent. But I think it's a fact, and in fact, I'm sure it's a fact, and I believe that we all know it. We have people today in prominent positions. I'll guarantee you this is the truth, because I've heard their words. We have people today leading our nation in prominent positions that have no idea what the separation of church and state actually means. They don't have a clue what it was actually about. they need to pick up a history book and they need to go back to elementary school and they need to learn, they need to remind themselves of these freedoms, and they need to learn what the separation of church and state really is and quit making such a mess of it. That's my opinion. That's what I believe that they need to do. It seems like that there's a great push to, and as I said, this has already been mentioned here this morning, but it seems like that there's a great push from people in this nation to do everything that they can that goes against the Word of God. And then when somebody wants to stand up and defend God and defend what's right, it seems like that in their evil minds that the freedom of speech suddenly disappears, doesn't it? Well, we've got the right to say whatever vile thing that we want to say, or believe whatever vile type of lifestyle, or live whatever vile type of lifestyle that we want to live, but you better not say one thing against it. That's not freedom of speech. And I'm going to tell you this, that our forefathers who believed in freedom of speech never did intend that to allow people to say any kind of vile thing that they wanted to say. Amen. That's never what it was about. It's all gotten so distorted. But you know what? As I said, we don't know. These natural blessings, these blessings that we have enjoyed as a nation here, the freedoms that we have enjoyed, we don't know what may happen because, as I said, religious liberty never came with a written guarantee that it would always be here. Perhaps it will, or perhaps it won't. We don't know that. But I do know this, that any natural freedoms that we have are subject to be lost. Oh, I've loved living in the land of the free. I have. But going back to what Jesus said here, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We can go way back in the history of mankind. We can go back to the time when Israel was in bondage in Egypt. What did they want, folks? What did they want? Did they not want to be free? Did they not want deliverance from the Egyptian yoke? Is that not why when Moses was there in the desert and he saw the great sight of the bush that was burning but was not being consumed, and when he drew near to that bush, God spoke to him from the midst of that bush. And you go read the third and the fourth chapter of Exodus about the time that Moses was there and the Lord began to talk to him. And you'll find there that God told Moses, I have heard their cries. He's talking about Israel. He said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters. What was God saying to Moses there? He said, I have heard the people of Israel crying out to me from Egypt that they want to be freed. They want to be freed from the bondage and the slavery that they're going through in that place. And you know what God told Moses? He said, I am come down to deliver them. And he did, didn't he? God wrought his mighty power and he brought them out of that awful place that they were in. Well, uh, 41 years ago, in the summer of 1973, I've shared this with the church here many times, I was an 18-year-old boy, and I'll tell you what, I was in the worst bondage, I was in the worst slavery that anybody has ever known. Sin had me captive. I was in the bondage of sin, and I was separated from God because of that, and was in the evil clutches of the devil. And I'll tell you what, my heart wanted to be free. Remember that? Remember being in the bondage of sin and remembering that great quest that you had? Think with me just a moment again about what people were doing and what people were willing to risk in order to have a natural freedom. How that they were willing to get on that little boat and sail out across the ocean, not knowing what they would face. I'm telling you, they wanted to be free. And there that night when I was crying out to God, there was nothing that I wanted more than for God to set me free from the bondage that I was in. I'm telling you, it was killing me. I never had... I don't know what it's like to be in jail. Never been there. I don't know what it's like to have your freedom taken away and be incarcerated like that. I've never, thank God, I've never had to experience that. But I know what it is to be separated from God. And I believe that's the worst. That's the worst. I'm telling you that the freedoms that I enjoy as an American, the freedoms that I enjoy as a citizen of this great nation, seem to be very much being threatened. And I can see the possibility, if not the probability, of some of them slipping away. But now, I'm going to tell you the truth. There that night, man, I'm telling you, God set me free. I know that He did. I felt it. Brother Wayne Strode, I felt it. When God freed me from that bondage of sin, I felt it in my soul. I knew what God had done. And I'm telling you, if the Lord makes you free, you are free indeed. You're the freest of the free. You'll never experience greater liberty. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. And you'll never have a greater liberty than that. And the things that we enjoy here that are subject to loss, the Lord, you know why? If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Well, listen, Israel, when they were freed from the bondage of the Egyptians, some years later, they sinned against God, and God stepped back and let the Babylonians take them right back into captivity again. But listen, when the Lord delivers your soul from the bondage of sin, when He sets you free, you will never be in bondage again. That's why if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Because it can never be taken away from you. It can never be lost. And no matter what situation that I find myself in life, from a natural standpoint, I'm glad to say that I will always be free. I'll always be free. And God has a land for His people. where we will live free. We will one day live without the threat of anything ever afflicting us. I believe that heaven is the land of the free. I want to read some scripture from the 6th chapter of Romans. Paul said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now listen to the statement that Paul made in the 7th verse. "For he that is dead is freed from sin." You see, when the Lord saved us, we died to sin. And we were made alive unto God, never again to be in bondage to sin. Isn't that great? That the Lord set us free and gave us liberty that nobody can take from us. And I'm confident that in times throughout history, that when the children of God found themselves in the darkest of situations, when they found themselves in bitter bondage, I'm sure that many times through the years of heavy persecution against the Lord's church, that there were people that just were overwhelmed in their hearts with the thought that God had given them a freedom that no man would ever be able to take. You know, those people that history tells us about, known as the separatists, you see, they, when they broke away from the Church of England, the government there being a church government, that was illegal. And many of them were persecuted, and some even died for being separatist. But they wanted to be free. I'm going to ask you this today. If you're here and you're lost, do you want to be free? Well, I'll tell you what. In order to be free, you've got to be willing to give it all up. You've got to be willing to give up sin. You've got to be willing to turn from sin. That's what repentance is all about, turning from sin and turning to God. You've got to desire the freedom that's in the Lord more than you desire anything. If you want it, you've got to give it all up in order to have it. Let's stand and sing. I appreciate your attention today.